Y'all get any robocalls or robotexts?
Oh my god, this is my favorite subject. Holy shit.
Yeah, we talked about this one while you were away before we started. And I was like, yeah, you know, Jake's got some topics on this one.
Holy shit. This could be my second job as much as like. So I will say this. There was a certain point that it was getting so bad because I use my phone for work. And so like that was getting very frustrating sometimes. What ended up happening at first was that because I was answering phone calls because I was, you know, job hunting, I answered every single phone call that came across. My name got on a list that it was active, blah, blah, blah. But Google or Verizon has a scam like protection or a scam call like filter thing. And at first when I did it, it said that it blocked 61 in a month. And now it's down to like 11. So I don't know what that system is, but it works. However, when they do get through, this is when I make their life a living fucking hell. When they tell me that they can cover funeral costs, I ask if they can shoot my body into space.
When they ask if they can cover funeral costs?
Yes.
What's the context around that?
Because for some reason they think I'm old. And they have like a life insurance plan that they want to get me in on that'll cover 100% of funeral costs. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Do you do like unorthodox funerals? And they're like, yeah, sure. I'm like, can you shoot my body into fucking space?
Will my coverage cover a rocket ship?
I want the raddest funeral ever. Think of a Viking funeral, but then bigger.
But way better. If you've ever watched Kit Boga on YouTube or Twitch, that's his actual job.
He's awesome. So funny.
There are times that I had gotten... when I started to get those calls, there was one time I just said the word Kit Boga, and they were like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my god.
Went full aggro.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the level that he goes to, I aspire to.
I get almost no robocalls or texts. I don't know if my phone filters them out really well, or I just am on no list because I'm pretty good at not answering any phone calls, because I don't like talking to people.
Shame.
Yeah.
Man, same.
But I was a huge fan of a person named Longmont Potion Castle. I don't know if any of you know who that is. Very deep internet thing. But it's a guy from like the early 2000s or mid 2000s, and his whole thing was prank calls, and they're all just like on the internet, and they are fucking amazing. And they're so random and so weird. Jake, it's really shit that you would like. I'm like,
probably, yeah.
It's very, his prank calls, they don't make sense. Sometimes it's just like wailing a bunch of sirens and beeps and boops. Like, like there's no coherence to them. Like people try to talk to him and there's just nothing. He's so weird and random. He'll have a conversation and then it'll just like devolve into sounds and whoops and stuff. And the person's just like, what's going on? Like, look That's up amazing. Longmont Potion Castle. It's amazing.
Did he have his own website?
He might. Like, he has like a cult following, so there's probably at least a website out there.
Probably.
Yeah. So I feel like I remember someone telling me about it and like going to a website of his or something.
Yeah, you can find out. There might be a website. The subject reminded me of that because that was a fun time where I just listened to those videos. Mm.
It reminds me of this person kept calling this one woman, and then it was like. Like, everything ended up with the John Cena theme song.
I remember that one.
And there was, like, a certain, like, it was after, like, three of them, she picked up the phone and was just like, what the fuck do you want? And he was like, man, we're just trying to see if you want to do any donations for, like, you know, Veterans Association or something like that. Something
very veteran needs your help.
Something very noble. And it goes on for, like, a few minutes of him talking about this one that he's sponsoring. And then she was like, okay, what'd you say the name was? His name is Johnson. It was so perfect. It was so good.
A legendary meme.
Oh my god. I remember that.
I need to find that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It goes on and on. It's so good.
Yeah, I don't get too many like scam calls. I'm not like picking up everything as everyone that used to call me. I have their contact basically. But I get a lot of scam texts. And they always, like, here's, like, the format. The format is, say something random enough that will kind of catch your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's light banter back and forth by, like, actually responding to what you're saying. And then they're like, wait, are you really this person that I was trying to get in contact? Prove it to me by sending a picture. Here's my picture. And they usually send a picture. It's usually like some woman that kind of looks like AI generated or something.
Naturally, yeah.
And then meanwhile, I am continuing with my character bit. And at a certain point, I get bored and I rate the conversation.
what's your rating system? What's your criteria?
It's just out of 10.
Oh, okay.
It's just a straight out of 10. I give them little feedback. And then I always ask, do you have any feedback for me? And usually that's when they just like stop responding.
Oh, that's a shame.
But today was different.
Oh, yes.
So today I was the hook text was, old friend, you still breathing? You know, very like, who is this old friend? And are they alive?
Yeah, really.
So I don't know why, but like that just kind of made me feel pirate. So I responded, oh, yarg, as surely as this breast rises and falls with each breast, what about ye? And like I said, they play along at first. As the tides rise and fall, my soul rises with your words, and I, like you, float with every breath. Oh, ye floating, nary a day goes by, but I don't think of those days. Aye, good times indeed. Oh, God. Here is the throw in the, are you this person? Haha, Linda, you are talking more and more romantically now. My response, nay, I hope ye don't get a wrong thought of days spent on the high seas. Honest work it was. To have a comrade as you was a boon, but even the sea recedes back to the shore. Ye knew there was a land lover I always cared for. I won't have ye twist my words, nor the memory of our toil on the bilge.
Oh my god.
And then, so this goes on. Like, I can read the whole thing, and viewers, if you want the whole conversation, hit me up in Discord. I will release. I will release the notes.
I want the whole conversation.
Please do.
I need it.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I want this to be a legendary like copypasta. Like, oh, I want this to
so
be
good.
Tim, you know, Evan wanting to run a pirate themed campaign, and this really makes me want to do it.
And so I'll leave you with the twist, because like I said, after my rating, usually they don't respond.
Oh, right.
So I ended with, okay, I'm bored now. I would rate this convo like a 4 out of 10. Appreciated you keeping the banter at the beginning, but you trailed off to the scam tactics a bit too quick. Any feedback for me? And they responded. This sent me. Just be happy. And I ended with, dang, that's kind of legit. Send ye old sea dog.
Oh my god, okay. For some reason, this reminded me of one that I did recently. This is definitely quick. So, because a lot of them are like machines or soundboards or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I do the, are you a real person? Okay. And when it's clearly an actual guy, I'll still go, are you a real person? And they'll go, yeah, I'm real. My name is Eric, with like the thickest accent you've ever heard. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, Eric, what's your favorite dinner? And he'll say chicken or whatever. Okay. And I'm like, mine's spaghetti and meatballs. Okay. And he goes,
oh, no, Jake Arena.
He's coming out. And so he goes, and then they go, and then the guy goes, okay, that's nice. And I was like, can you say spaghetti and meatballs? And he'll say it just in his normal accent. And I'm like, no, give me a really good Italian. And he does it. God. It's not great. He does it.
No.
And it's not a good one. And I was like, dang, that was really good. And he was like, why are you messing with me? I was like, I'm not messing with you. I was like, you called me. And then and as he goes to hang up, I was like, wait, I love you. And he goes, I love you too.
Yes. Man, I need to be nicer. I need to like engage these people. When I was looking through my phone, the last one I got, it was like a scam, and I was like, eat a dick, and they just didn't respond. I need to be more subtle before I tell the bait to eat a dick.
Eat a dick is a good punchline, but you gotta.
That will be my sign off, like Tim's rating system.
Right.
I'll try to get him in a really cool conversation, and then I'll just cut it off and say
no, no, you gotta hit him with a Segundes or a Ligma or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then hit him with it.
I'm sorry, I have Ligma.
Oh my god.
No, my go to is not necessarily for all spammer calls, it has to be an automotive insurance call.
Oh yeah.
I picked this one up from my good friend Wesley, who was the best man at my wedding. Shout out, Wes.
Oh dude, I love Wes.
Yeah, Wes, great listener to the pod.
Maybe.
He should be.
Should be.
But no, I picked this up years ago when we were working together on the farm. Uh-huh. He owns some very interesting vehicles, one of which is a 69 Corvair.
Ooh.
Which, for those of you who don't know what a 69 Corvair is, it's a 1969, they made this vehicle with an engine in the trunk. Chevrolet made this very interesting vehicle, but was known to explode when being struck from the rear because the gas tank would ignite.
Yep.
Ralph Nader tried to get them banned from the United States from manufacture. It's kind of a rare oddity now because they kind of happened.
Yeah.
But now, anytime I get insurance, automotive insurance car, and I have the time for it, I'm like, yeah, I drive a 69 Corvair. I'm really having trouble getting this thing insured. And then the people will look up the insurance rates for it and be like, it's so good. I'll never forget watching him do it one day. I'm like, I'm going to use this. This is fantastic.
That's amazing.
Just watching him kind of fumble around in like a 69 Corvair, and then they look it up and they realize what the issues are.
Good God, get a new car.
Yeah, right. Dude, for you and for your health, get a new car.
Your life's not worth it.
Good times.
Oh man, that is a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, Jake. What's that car outside your house? That electric one that's like from the 70s.
Oh, they're so well. Okay,
it's
so
French.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, yeah, so I have two cars that don't work. No, I have three cars that don't work. They're not mine. Let me be clear. They're not mine. There's three cars at my house that don't work. There's an electric one that was like a custom made car. It looks like
the body of the car is a real car, but it was custom converted.
It looks like a Fiat. Like it has that sort of build to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's like a huge ass battery pack in the back of the car. It looks neat. It looks neat to drive, but there is the Fiero that is also in my driveway. And that
Pontiac
one,
Fiero.
Yeah, that one, my brother-in-law, Tim's brother, who is a wonderful mechanic, looks at that and like, you know, that thing just caught on fire sometimes. Those cars, they just did that for random.
My father spent years. My brother's best friend at the time, his first car was a Pontiac Fiero, and my dad spent a large chunk of my like young teenage life fixing that fucking car like every month because it was such a piece of shit.
Oh, I would rock this car.
It's cool. It's a mid-engine. It's wild, and it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason that your family is still holding on to that car, Tim.
Jake, how much you want for it? I'll take it,
dude. I've had people. I had a friend come by to drop something off once that he borrowed from me, and he texted me later. He was like, "Is that a Fiero in your driveway?" I'm like, "You want it?
Please much, buy Nick? It from David.
please do.
How much do you want for it?
I'll ask. Don't worry.
Give me a price.
Please take it from my father.
What year is it?
Wait, no, Jed. What the fuck? Don't buy this car.
I want.
No, it's terrible.
Jed's wife is so mad.
Put a giant eagle on the hood.
Oh, light your money gosh. On fire. It'd be a better use of it.
At least it'd keep you warm.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ. Mark, you got any good you got any good robocalls, robotech stories?
No. Usually as soon as I know it's a robocall, I just hang up on them. I don't deal with them. But, like I'm like I tried to do the whole thing where I'm like, "Oh, okay, I like fuck around with them." I'm like, "This is stupid. I'm bored." And then I'm just like I just hang up.
See, Mark is a smart one out of us.
See, that's the thing. I don't get any really like for the past like 5-6 years, I haven't really received any. Like, if they text, it would be like, "Oh, this could be something like a sales thing," but I just block or you know just delete it.
Yeah, you're in the same camp. Like, you're in the same camp with me.
House, it'll all change.
I don't get a lot of that. I think Mark and I are both in the same camp where we're out of practice. We haven't been annoyed enough to venture into talking to these strange people.
Well, yeah, because like it sounds like Tim's like always being like assaulted by people, and same with Jake. But
it's, Jake
like,
and me, Tim it's, actually like, I, invited, so I think
yeah, yeah, you know, I really do. Yeah, but it's like even like after I bought my place and stuff like that, it's just like I didn't get really any spam besides stuff that came in the mail, and I'm like, oh, toss, like whatever, like. Yeah, so it's like anytime spam, like I said, like one spam caller, I don't know, like back when they actually used human people and not AI and stuff like that.
Yeah. All those automations.
Then,
yeah.
Then you're just like, wow, this is just depressing. And then I think that last time I even said something, I'm like, man, this just really sucks. And I just hung up on him. Like,
this just really sucks.
I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sorry. Like,
oh, well.
Well, speaking of depressing, the Half Yarn is standing over multiple burned bodies in this collapsed rubble in the corner of Erastil's table, the most welcoming place you could go.
Mm.
Burnt to a crisp by apparent arson from what you think is alchemist fire. These people were locked in here. And one of them rose as a sulfur zombie.
Mm. Oof.
Just a peek behind the curtain. That was a weak sulfur zombie. The weak talent.
Jesus.
It's a creature 6. So it was brought down to a creature 5 for you guys. So
that explains why a 19 on the die was not a crit for me.
Yeah, his fortitude save was +14, and I was rolled almost exclusively over like 11 on every roll.
Dude, I know. Every single time they kept casting a spell and going, "Give me a fortitude save." I was like, "Stop."
I know. Every time I rolled, I was just like, this thing doesn't need to even roll this high to beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we're like, Kelly's going to roll like he does on the main show. I mean, come on. He's got to roll a 2.
Like, no, when he has a GM screen in front of him, he rolls like a madman.
That's true. Yeah. Kessler was on a really bad cold streak the past, like, many episodes, so.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that I'm, say, like, murdering
past
you guys.
Many episodes.
Yeah.
Past many years.
For a while there, Kezra was just fine. His initiatives are always bad, but
always. Yes.
I thought through like through book 1 through 3, I didn't complain too much, but it's gotten bad here in book 4.
Yeah, yeah. But so with the soul situation. Okay, so after we determine what happened here and stuff like that.
Also, after the death throws, by the way.
Yes, like, that's what I was going to get to. Is that Edmund is sitting in the single digits of HP.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Theron is fine.
Yep.
Because of his ability. Everyone else is falling, and he's just, like, tanking. Well, you said it was, like, fire and bludgeoning damage?
Yep, the sulfur zombie exploded after the Half Yarn gutted it. And a 30-foot explosion of fire and... bludgeoning, just like debris.
Yeah,
pretty awful. Like to think,
yeah, I just like to think it's like Theron's like aura just kind of flex a lot of it, just because it's his element of fire and I would say earth, like body parts and shit like that. Whatever. But he sees Half Yarn being helped by Corbinian, and he's just staring down at this thing and kind of just is inspecting it, like it. How is, like, that's the thing, like, how do we know zombies like this come back? Like, is it because he died in such a tragic way? Like,
yeah, I think in this case, that is the implication that this person died in a tragic fire in a holy place in the presence of necromantic energy. Maybe somebody came by and used those circumstances to raise this particular creature, but yeah, you can with the religion in the group, those are both pretty reasonable answers. And considering there's lots of zombies and there's a lot of activity here, this isn't sort of.
We were lucky with this one. See here. Look how its bones were already breaking by the time we got to it. This thing would have been stronger. We would all been dead. I don't want to be mucking around anymore in this town until I can get my power back. I suggest we board up and hole up I need to get some rest.
Yeah, if I could get a little bit of a heal before you take a nap, that would be great.
He's like, the side of his face is burnt, and he's got like shrapnel in his neck.
Oh yeah.
Is anyone else down?
Yeah, I'm still down after the first heal.
Oh, okay. I'm still down. I'm down like 20-something points still. I got hit like twice, and I think chunked.
Okay. I can go ahead and launch off a 3-action so it gets us all.
Okay.
Courtesy of Black Oak Workshop. Blood dice.
Our treasure, let's go! Ooh. Almost max.
Oh, nice.
So it's at 19 points of healing.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Oh, on 2d10, right. I got 19.
Damn, almost up the full.
Yeah, almost. I'm one away from full now. So that's
2 points from full.
Bunch of dice noise.
So full. So full.
Yeah, so you guys can probably spend some time. Or actually, you tell me. Corbinian wants to rest. It's about 3 o'clock. So an 8 hours rest would bring you to right around 11 o'clock, which will be at night. So you don't know exactly when these zombies come out, but if you are going to rest to get your spells, you better start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If he just wants to go rest and then we start working on boarding up and stuff like that, we can do that, because I know that Half Iron and I have good enough crafting to be able to, you know, make some stuff work at least.
Mm-hmm. And Theron can use his strength in order to just transport stuff over materials.
Yeah,
all that fun stuff.
Yeah. I had talked about doing a sweep with Detect Magic. Is that something that I can do while Half Iron starts setting up and Saren starts helping with like the athletics checks?
You're gonna wander around town with Detect Magic.
Yeah. So I mean, I have spells to get me out of harm's way. I just want to see if I'm getting any like big pings with Detect Magic.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and let me start here with the rules for boarding down.
Okay.
For fortifications. So I think I already told you in broad strokes, you have entrances to the Warlands Yard or wherever you guys want to do. You guys are doing Warlands Yard, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there another place we were thinking of, or was that just like the first place?
Stone building. That's going to be our safe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because
now we're just saying if we found survivors, we could send them to the servants' quarters or something like that as well, just because it's already set up for people to be there.
Okay, yeah. So, Warland Yard sounds like the move, which is logical. I'd do the same. So, each entrance can be part of 4 steps of repair. There is destroyed, broken, intact, and fortified. You can do the repair action with crafting, and it takes 1 hour on a success, 2 hours on a fail to increase a fortification by 1 step. Got it?
Okay, I got it.
We went through the follow the leader, so as long as the half yarn is in there and working, you all can roll with your level +2 for crafting.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yep. Oh, right. Okay.
And you can perform 10-minute activities during a fortification period, such as like treat wounds or repair a shield or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can do a single 10-minute activity while you're also undergoing a repair step, so you can do them in tandem, but you can only do one per hour you're spending or whatever. Warland's Yard, I believe, has 9.
I was gonna say, can openings. You pull up the map? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, let me take you guys to Warland's Yard first. And
windows.
Yeah, I'm gonna I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
They're supposed to be. Did you say this one was already kind of
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Oh, the double doors. They are each an entrance that would require fortification.
Yeah,
you can't just you can't just repair one door, or you can, but you have to do them separately.
So they just use the other door,
right? So there's a front door, a front double door, a back door, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 windows. Two in the bedroom, one in the kitchen, one in the storage room, and then two in the main storefront. Right now, Worland's yard, every entranceway is intact, but not fortified. So
okay,
it is in good shape.
Yeah, I was good. That's a great place to start, because then we can at least fortify. I'm worried about windows, though. That's my main concern.
I would say doors would be the priority, though. At least the front doors, because we could easily those shelves and stuff in the back. I mean, we can, you know, barrier up that back door.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
two doors in the front. I mean, that's where. We can't do like the windows. I mean, there might be issue with them trying to get through at first and all that stuff. That's how I'm assuming it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be real with you guys here. I'm thinking about strategy wise. I don't think we should focus on the main lobby here, because they're gonna get. I mean, if they are gonna get in, I would rather them get in an open space where we can blast them with large cones or explosives. In an open space, than them get in these back rooms and come up from behind us,
right?
Where we can't see them as easily, we can't watch as closely. I'd rather fortify the windows in the back first, then focus on the lobby once we know that our flanks are secure.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Because that way, if they do get in, I'd rather them get in one of these entranceways and us blast them from behind the bar. Then have to worry about fighting in these smaller rooms in tighter quarters. I don't know.
No, that makes sense. Definitely covering up those windows in the back.
Yeah, I'd rather leave like the two windows on the end of the building down here open.
Some more information to give you.
Go ahead.
Oh, this might inform your strategies. It is logical to assume that the zombies will swarm the weakest barrier.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Leaving
even one barrier broken or destroyed, which does not impede entry. So it has to be intact to impede entry. Leaving one open does not impede entry. They'll all come in there, broken or destroyed. So we could funnel.
That's what I'm thinking. I'd rather leave these windows or one or two of these open and let them funnel in through there. Because I mean,
it is useful. I'd rather the last piece of advice. It is useful to have fortifications, but it is more important to have all entryways intact.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not saying leave it open. I'm just saying leave it intact. Fortify other areas.
Okay. In the room, wasn't there like tar and stuff like that?
In the storage room.
Uh-huh.
There is lots of stuff, which I will find that list for you.
I think there was like oil and
Was lantern oil, and there was some stuff we brought back from that we were going to try to bring back from the tavern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. The pick and pint or something.
All right. There is 50 feet of rope, a single box of nails, a hammer. It says one hammer. 4 pints of oil, a dozen torches, 10 feet of simple iron chain.
There's also just like a ton of like
there's wood,
refuse wood around town.
Yes. There's lots of wood already in here as well. Okay, lots of like new 2x4s and stuff. There's a small barrel of flammable tar, which can cover 4 squares and burns for 4 hours. That half iron would be able to deduce how long that tar would burn.
How
Two barrels of fresh water, 6 large bolts of cloth, and a crate with 50 arrows.
So I'm trying to figure out what to do with the tar, because that one, I assume, because it's tar, it can slow them down.
And it's on fire. Well, which I can easily put stuff on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So would that be something... If they go for... Like, if we're hoping to funnel them through the windows, right? Could we pour some of the tar onto, like, that 5-foot square? Like, just outside the window, so that way as they come to it, they get stuck. We we ignite it, so that way they have to go through the fire.
Yeah,
to get in the window.
A good idea. I mean, I don't know what the rules are for if it's close to the building, if the building starts catching on fire.
But yeah, that was my concern.
Because it's still pissing itself out, right? It's still raining like crazy?
Yep.
So, because, I mean, I keep forgetting. I'm like, oh yeah, it's pouring its ass off, so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, so in addition to doing fortifications, you can also roll crafting checks to set traps. So you could set traps with the tar to go off in a controlled burn in the building. As long as it's within reason, as long as it's not like 4 continuous squares of tar, then the building's going to burn down. But you might be able to rig it up that you could block an entryway. And like
one here. Mm-hmm. And one here, but not like all through everything.
Yeah, if you did like 4 straight squares of tar, I might say the building starts to catch on fire. But
oh yeah, definitely.
If you do like spots of tar, 5-foot squares, you could set some decent traps.
Yeah, and I wouldn't know if like you would allow me for Theron to also steal the fire from it, because that is one ability he does have.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, that way he can help control it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's crafting a hazard will take 30 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Hazard. History.
yeah. Where's the level 12 hazards we can make
here? Where's our level 12? Where's our where's our light?
You can also do simple traps like
a lathe.
Create difficult terrain.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was hoping there with that too.
Are we not home alone this shit?
Oh yeah.
Where's the paint bucket?
Where's the tarantula?
This zombie is afraid of a tarantula.
They'll beat each other up. if you heat up a doorknob.
I could do that.
Zombies don't use doorknobs. It's silly. Okay, so while they're setting up that, let's say that we start doing some of that stuff. Could I do a quick sweep out in the town?
Yeah. So it is. I'll say we're still around 3:00, so you guys can start rolling your crafting checks. I'll go out with Edmund and do his detect magic. And so the goal is Corbinian, you're asleep, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah,
you're doing
Honk-shoo.
You're in the bedroom. You're sleeping.
Oh my god, he's a tiny little guy.
For the first 2 hours, you're going to be dealing with Half Yarn working on these windows.
Yeah, so bring some earplugs.
Yeah.
He's got the pillows all over his head.
So you guys have, you can just start rolling your crafting checks and keep track of how much time. So a success is 1 hour. A failure is 2 hours.
What's our DC or you know?
Oh yeah,
you can tell us.
I guess there's no real harm in telling me. DC 17.
17.
Okay. Yeah, it's a. 17. I don't think there's any real reason not to tell you that. Oh, if it's more complex, I could raise the DC. So, if you think you're doing something complex, let me know. I don't know what that. I don't know what that means. You're boring things.
I was getting ready to ask for these back windows. Is there a way I can set up an audible sound, like put like a glass vase on top of each structure, so if they break while we're out front fighting, we hear, we know something's going wrong out back.
Even a string and a bell.
I would make that a hazard. That would take its own task. So
I will do that once we got things secure. I'd rather secure everything first than start putting up defense stuff.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna start rolling here.
All right.
Okay. Yep.
Gotcha. So you said it's a plus +5. It would be 2 + 3 our level, and that would be the following leader.
But follow the leader allows you to do two plus your level, so.
And then I don't get any benefits from anything. I'm just straight rolling.
You're just good at it, buddy.
Yeah,
you're just good
at it. That's what I figured. I'm sure I understand here.
I just don't want to say it out loud.
Do I add anything else? Like, because I have like a +1 to intelligence, but I'm not, you know, trained in it. So is that +1 be added, or is it only +5?
It's a good question. Because as far as I knew, follow the leader, Pathfinder. From what I understand, follow the expert. thanks to your ally's assistance, you can add your level as a proficiency bonus to the associated check, even if you're untrained. Additionally, you gain a circumstance bonus to your skill check based on your ally's proficiency. Two for expert, 3 for master. Okay. So yeah, it says you can add your level as proficiency to the associated skill. So usually you would not, but because he is sort of ordering you, you get your level as a proficiency bonus on top of it. So yeah.
Understood.
Yep.
+5.
And then Jed, you're an expert in crafting, is that what you're
expert
using?
Expert in crafting, yep.
Okay, so then it says additionally you gain the circumstance bonus to your skill check based on your ally's proficiency +2 for expert, so you get an additional +2.
I do?
It just says Oh wait, sorry. Choose an ally attempting a recurring skill check while exploring, such as climbing, blah blah blah. The ally must be at least an expert in that skill, must be willing to provide assistance. Okay, so
yeah.
So he gets the +2 because of your
right
expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yep. So yeah, and then I want to do this run out quick. Just because I want to see if we're getting any pings out there. Because if there is,
yeah,
maybe I'll do a little reconnaissance.
And that's where he's like, "Oh, let me go in this building." Oh no, like 5 zombies.
Yeah, as Edmund goes to leave, he opens up the door, and you guys are like, "What are you doing?" He turns around, he just goes, "Wizard shit," and leaves.
Lundo, and he might stab someone else in the back anyway. So we go check on Corbinian, and Corbinian has a knife in it.
Yeah. <Dead.
laughs> What the fuck were you doing? I was trying to make PB&J.
I was trying to make a PB&J!
I was using telekinetic projectile, and it just slipped, I swear.
I tried to cast Make Sandwich, and I killed Corbinian.
I imagine the it'd be like a Naked Gun bit where like he drops the knife and it bounces off the walls and the ceiling into the other room into Corbinian's chest.
It just keeps deflecting to Corbinian.
Every knife he encounters.
So Corbinian is gonna go. Fuck, Edmund is gonna go out.
Sorry
for the hard F. I said Corbinian. Oh, we were in cut.
My ears.
Edmund is going to go out and do some reconnaissance. Theron and the Half Yarn are going to be fortifying and trapping. Corbinian is going to be sleeping, hopefully undisturbed. So I'm going to take Jake out here. So this. I would say this part of town is going to take you about I'd say it would be about an hour stroll. You only have 30 feet of detect magic.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get in close, look in windows. You know, you're going to have to be cautious. You're going to have to look for danger.
Exactly, yeah.
So this will take you at least an hour to explore the rest of this town. But I will take... wrong thing. Selector. There we go. So I'll bring the little party icon over here, and I'm going to reveal the rest of the town.
Ooh.
And I'll let you know, or you let me know, if you want to explore... So,
I mean,
on the side of town,
if it is, I walk back.
On the side of town, you see another, you know, 8 or 9 houses, and then the trail goes up a hill to reveal what looks like a chapel,
mm-hmm,
a graveyard, and a mausoleum.
Oh, hell no!
And you might, from where you are, you can't see the juicy details that you might see on this map. But it's a graveyard and you're in a zombie game. You can imagine something might have gone down up there.
Yeah.
So, but you can now see the graveyard and the chapel up on the hill through the dense rain.
Okay. I want to get close enough to be able to see if I see anything moving.
Do you want to go up to the front gate? Do you want to peek in the front gate, or do you want to
Is there a fence? Is there like a wrought iron fence that I can like look through?
You know there is.
Okay. I just want to be able to like I said, get up to the point to where I can see even through the rain to see if I see like, you know, zombies shambling around. Mm-hmm. If I don't see any movement, I'll just say cool, thanks, and leave.
If you run into like 28 days later zombies, you are screwed.
I am.
Oh my god,
you would be correct.
Rage zombies.
If there are runners up here, you are screwed.
He's just like smoking a cigarette while he's running.
all you see is it's a shot of my feet, blood, and the cigarette drop. And you're like, oh no, he died.
Oh no.
I have message too, so I can communicate with you guys. No, it's only 120 feet, but
it just suddenly pings into our heads. We're like, uh-oh, that's not good.
We hear a message and all it says is brains.
We lost Edmund. That's horrifying. No.
They got him. They got him.
We lost Edmund.
Actually, so fun thing I was looking up, Kelly, was I have a spell or feat. It's just called Base Kinesis. And basically what I can do is move existing... Like, I have multiple things I can do. I can generate, bring an ordinary, non-magical piece of chosen element from the elemental plane. The element can be used for any of its normal uses. GM discretion on what bulk it would be, like, size-wise. But I was thinking, because I have the... in accordance to this, it says move an existing piece of the element up to 20 feet in any direction. If you bring it to your space, you can catch it with an open hand. You can sustain it to keep moving it. So I was thinking, if there's like loose rock or stone and stuff, I can like put that in certain areas to fortify as well, like from the outside or something like that.
But, okay, even to make like difficult terrain. I think.
That too. Because yeah. I mean, I could just set up like I don't know, one bulk, two bulk size like rocks or something, and just put them in the way. And zombie mm-hmm. trips on it.
I think your tool would be good for making hazardous terrain. So not just tar filled right. squares, but difficult terrain and tar. Burning tar, okay. That would be good. For fortifying... So, I agree using it as a resource to fortify is a good idea. I still think it would take a degree of crafting to make it happen, but I'm willing to give you a bonus to your crafting check because this is material that you are, you know, intuitively good at.
Yeah.
So think it would I think it would be a boost to you with your skill set.
Okay.
I love the idea of it just being 1 foot holes. Because I think everyone has stepped in like a slightly small hole in like an open field, and like just imagine that these decaying bodies just broken ankles everywhere.
Yeah, I mean that could be a hazard I could easily make outside is pulling up rock out of the ground without being strenuous at all and just being like, boop, ow, put it somewhere else. So yeah,
holes everywhere. Just holes everywhere.
Let me get back to Edmund real quick.
Okay. Edmund, roll for initiative.
You know if you guys can see this map.
I can't.
Okay.
So, can only Edmund see it?
I have a big black screen, so I might just not have vision, but I'm on something.
It's because that Edmund's dead.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Can't see anything.
I see the void.
It's because Edmund died.
You I'm see a river.
I'm blind.
Why can't you see here?
For some reason, Corbinian is sleeping better now.
Oh. he finally feels safe.
Can you see anything yet?
Not yet.
Oh, my like fog thing is all the way.
Got the fog turned up.
I don't know why.
Oh, I see something in the corner for some reason. I see something right here for some reason.
Okay. It's gone.
Oh. Huh? I see a little something.
I see Mac.
I see Mac.
I
see.
Okay,
see a house.
I see a green like, square.
No, that's a tombstone. A
brown square.
Wait, who went to the cemetery?
Edmund.
Oh my gosh!
Just
I'm looking
himself.
Up. I'm looking up spells, and you're getting yourself killed. All
right. So,
what can you see? I am reconning. Okay. Now I'm on the very edge, and I can see. I do have token vision now.
Great. All right. So. Good to hear. Okay. So you get up to this cemetery, and you stare through the window, or you kind of look around the crenellated, broken walls, and you see a bunch of disturbed graves.
Uh-huh.
They're all just, there's like 9 of them, or maybe 8 from what you can see. Yeah, you can see 8 of them. Okay. Or maybe like 7, but there's more. You have to get a little closer to see what's going on. But, why don't you roll me a perception check?
Ooh.
All right. Actually, I've been wanting to do this. I want perception checks to be secret. What's your perception score?
My perception score is a plus 6.
Is it plus 6? All seems quiet. You know, you're looking around. You don't hear any moaning. It's no real animals. It's just rainy and quiet, like a graveyard should be.
Great. I leave.
Okay.
this has been the most I've ever been stressed out in these campaigns or this entire adventure. Good lord.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said I was going to walk up. If I don't see any shambling, I go, cool, thanks.
What if you had seen shambling? What if you had done then?
I would have ran.
Good, okay. As long as you're not going.
I walked away as opposed to running. You see the difference? Okay, after that, you know, I do a sweep a continuous sweep if I haven't hit everything yet. And just seeing if I get a ping anywhere else.
All right. You end up looking at all these houses. You're seeing a lot of the same scenes. Things broken into holes, holes from under the ground. And, yeah, it's just really nasty. Also, Ogryn came with you.
Oh, God.
You kind of like got through town, and then you at one point turned around, and there he was, Ogryn with his little eyes
looking at you.
If I approach Ogryn, does he like keep distance, or does he just kind of there?
No, he'll let you pat him, but he's okay, just following.
So,
you.
So I did mind meld with this cat, so like I didn't see that he's. I didn't see, like, a demon in there, you know what I mean? So I guess I'll just walk up, and I'll just kind of stare at him for a minute. I'll be like, what's your deal, man? All right, you're cool.
Then he farts.
Oh, dude, cat farts are the worst.
He farts when you're in a building with another dead body.
Okay.
Do end up, however, finding a house, and you're looking through the windows, and you feel a ping.
Oh no, you know it's that book. Don't go in there. There's gonna be a zombie with a hand on that book, and you're gonna get got.
That has never happened in any movie ever, Tim. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I am gonna make my way back. I'll note to myself what house this is. Did I see an open door or anything like that, or like could I look inside to get a good view of like where this ping might be coming from?
You just want to know what building.
If it's something that it's like, you know, if it's like right on a windowsill, you know what I mean? Then I can do
when
something.
When you concentrated,
but
it looked like it was coming from somewhere in the house, not near a window.
Yep, that's what I thought. Okay.
It also so kind of felt like it was several things.
Okay. I will make notes, walk back down the street, and when I start getting back to our stronghold, I will cast message and be like,
hold on.
Hey, guys. Nope.
You don't get that close yet.
Oh.
You're getting close to the bridge, right around where I'm pinging.
Okay.
And let's say you're in the square here, so you're approaching the bridge to go back to the other side of town towards Orland's Yard and the Pick and Pine.
Yeah.
And the building directly to the north of you is like a little L-shaped house, and you see movement to the far end of the house, right out of the corner of your eye. Probably a good 50, 60 yards from you. So, not like right on you.
Okay.
And you see something. Let's see how much detail you get here.
I was going to say, you got my perception. Let's see what I see.
You think you saw a child?
Oh. God.
And it darted behind the building and disappeared out of view.
Oh, no.
Okay. Because it ran away, that is a good sign. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kneel down, and I'm just going to be like, hey, kid. Kid, you okay?
No response.
Hey, kid, we got food at, was it Warland's Yard?
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we got food at Warland's Yard. If you want to come by. And I'll like, start, like, walking that way, but sort of keeping my eye out to see if this supposed child pokes out, you know, out of curiosity.
So you're walking along the back edge of this house.
Yeah.
Get about 10 yards.
Yeah.
Hear nothing. See nothing. Get about 30 yards. Still no response. You're creeping along the back edge of this building. It's pouring down rain.
All right.
Get 50 yards. Almost to the edge. Almost to the corner. Still nothing. Do you want to look around the corner?
Oh, wait. Let me see if I have a spell. So here's what I want to do. Let me see. I have message. I wonder if I could use that here. You mouth words quietly, but instead of coming out of your mouth, they're transferred directly to the ears of a target.
You have to see it.
Those can't hear your words better than you normally mouth them. The target can hear your words as if they were standing next to you. Give a brief response as a reaction or free action next turn. Okay, so, yeah, because of the fact that it's targeted, I have to be able to see it then. I thought for some reason message was one of those ones where you could, like, communicate, like, walkie-talkie-wise.
It's either heightened or there's another spell that you could do. Okay.
Heightened up to third makes it go up to 500 feet, so...
Supposed to be a target.
In which case, I can message you guys. It is interesting that it doesn't. So I have to be able to see somebody within 500 feet to use it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's the definition of target.
Yeah, huh. you got a target. I believe it's sending that allows you to just target somebody.
Sending.
Sending's the good one.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if I don't see this kid, you know, poke his head out or come out, I'm just gonna walk back.
So you don't look around.
Oh man, I really want to.
Hey! If you die, it's not the end of the world.
This is true.
You could get another character.
I could be the kid.
You could be the zombie kid.
Okay, I'm also fine on spells. I haven't even used my really good defensive spell that would absolutely help here. So I think I am going to stealthily look around.
You go.
You want my stealth score or my stealth check?
Yeah, your stealth.
Okay. I'm untrained.
Okay.
So it's a +3.
All right. Slip along the side of this building, trying to step in the parts that are less waterlogged. Try to keep your footfalls from splashing. You're real deft along the wood, not leaning on it, forcing it to creak. Feel pretty good. Feel pretty good about your volume. Look around the corner, and you see what looks like a fishing hut off in the distance. Down by the stream.
Uh-huh.
You don't see a child.
In a fishing hut down by the stream.
There'll be a kid living in a hut down by the river.
I go, hey, kid. And I know this kid's scared, but Edmund is not the best at diplomacy, so that is his diplomacy, is going, hey, kid.
you don't get any reaction. Nothing. Silence and rain. Fishing hut. Fishing hut does not have any light in it.
Yeah, I figure not. So here's what I'll say. I'll say, like, hey, kid, we got friends. We're a safe place. If you want to come to Warley's Yard, we got some food. See you there. And then I'll walk back to the holdout.
Okay. Make it across the bridge. Walk past the dark, morbid looking pig and pint.
I'm unashamedly turning my head as I walk, so I'm like constantly looking at the fishing hut as I'm walking around it.
Yeah, you look back, you turn to look back across the river to see if you catch any glimpse of movement at the hut, or any flickering candle or something. And it's just dark as it kind of fades into the rain as you get farther away.
Right.
All right. Get back to the yard. I get back. Yeah, I get back. And I let them know. Oh, when I walk up, I go,
hold on.
You guys, there's a graveyard? Oh.
One more thing.
Okay.
Watch for the holes.
See, this is why we just don't go exploring the rest of the town, Jake. You're triggering all the random encounters. This kid is going to die when the kid wouldn't even be discovered until we actually discovered him. That's a little metagame, but
I don't know, maybe there's a ticking clock. Maybe this kid was going to die at a certain day anyways.
If that was the case, somebody with diplomacy should have been on here.
No, I have I have negative one.
Me too.
I'm the only one with diplomacy, and I was sleeping.
Dwarves, notorious for diplomacy. Yeah.
Alright, I'm going to say this whole venture of yours took 2 hours. Okay?
That's fair.
So, with the extra trip up to the graveyard, detour for the child, you're about 2 hours. 2 hours in.
Okay.
I'm going to flip over to the workers.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Back at Warden's yard. The half yard cooking up some kooky fortifications. And what's that Theron getting into with those rocks? So, let's do some rolls. Let me go back to the yard. Let me activate this map again. And where do y'all want to start?
I'm thinking the first four windows on our flank here. Basically,
ping the two by the bed.
Yeah, the two by the bed.
Okay.
The one in the kitchen.
Yep.
And the one to the south in the storeroom.
Got it. All right. So
the first four I'm after, basically.
You want to focus on those four windows. What is Theron going to be doing during this time? Corvinian is sleepwalking, apparently. So don't disturb him or he won't get his spells. Just let him walk around and talk about death.
Faraz was gonna spare this one. And looks at Theron. Faraz was gonna spare this one. And looks at the half yarn. Then looks at Edmund as he walks to the door.
I imagine he's like
Farazma.
I imagine he's like staring at like your forehead. He's not making eye contact.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Off in the distance. Just looks at Edmund. Farazmus tells me to keep you alive. I ask her to kill you.
I just imagine half yards at a window looking across the room at you guys, and he's just mouthing, "What the fuck?"
Oh, in this case, Theron, I mean, if you're saying you'll give him a bonus to crafting with using his abilities, then, I mean, he'll fortify the windows first.
Okay.
And then go outside to do, like, the holes and stuff.
Got it.
All that fun
stuff. Alright, so why don't, windows go first. Those four windows on the east or western part of the building and all the side rooms. So why don't each of you make 2 crafting checks for those, and that will be however many hours that takes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a +1 on your crafting.
Okay, awesome. Actually, that works for me. That's 18, actually.
All right, great. So you get your first window in an hour.
I'm assuming I'm starting. I'll start down there while...
All right, half yarn.
So next one's kitchen.
Go ahead.
I have a 14 on my first roll. All
right, so you take 2 hours on that window up there. Maybe you're getting a little ahead of yourself, trying to like rig up this bell trap, and you're just wasting time.
Right.
And you're like, I need to do these separately. So you get 2 hours. So Theron, go ahead and roll your necks and see if you get your other window down at the same time it takes.
10.
All right, so you are 2 hours as well, so... half your arm, why don't you go roll your next check now?
25.
Great. Much better. You both take 3 hours to do 2 windows each. So all 4 windows in the side rooms are now fortified.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna like draw something on there, but I'll do that later. So that would bring us to Edmund would get back at, in the middle of you guys getting those windows done. So, Edmund, as you're strolling back.
Yep.
You are doing your double takes. You're looking at the... You're looking back at the hut. And you finally... You're like, alright, this kid's not going to show themselves to me. and the hut's basically out of sight. You're coming up on the yard, and something the hair raises on the back of your neck. Like, something's behind me. You roll your perception is spot on. You roll really well.
Uh-huh.
And you hear a moan.
Oh, shit.
And you hear, like, a piece of, like, something get kicked. Like something ran into something.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you hear two more moans. Sounds like multiple things now. And then you hear more.
Oh,
and you're like, and you turn around and you look down the street, and through the mist and the fog, you see shapes of creatures walking in your direction.
Oh, God.
I'm going to roll another perception check to see if you know how many from this distance. Or you can wait. Or you can wait till they get closer.
Nope.
So, with your keen sense that saw this mass coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go to the graveyard. You make out
exactly six figures. Okay. And they are coming your way from across the bridge. They're already over the bridge at this point.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, they're like 150 yards from Mormon's yard.
My gosh.
Okay.
You're almost
if you guys look, I was gonna say, I just go into a full sprint.
Yep. You look back one more time and you notice them all now have slightly shifted to directly where you're going. They were kind of just shambling before, and now they look like they are coming right for you.
Yeah. Okay, I get there and I'm like, all right, so graveyard is empty. That's good. What's not good is I saw a handful walking this way.
So they're in the middle of the boarding up their windows. I imagine Theron's in the kitchen. Half Yarn is on the second window at this point. You burst in, rambling about a graveyard.
Wait, how many?
About six, I think.
Six, God. It's not even enough time.
You think they will be here in a matter of rounds.
Yeah. He's like, in the meantime, his armor was sloughed off, but he activates his aura quickly, armor's back on.
Mm-hmm.
And haphazardly, I mean, he just shoves. He'll go and use athletics to shove these shelves against the back door just to block that out.
I want to tell you something. Hmm. Gorbinian is sleeping. If he wakes up, he does not get his spells. If you fight in this place, he will have to roll every single round to wake up. And you like are all like, you all just instinctively know if we wake him up, we're not going to get spells.
Do we know how much time he needs?
I mean, you guys.
I need 8 hours. It's been two.
It's been two.
Oh, gosh.
So here's the thing: battles last minutes.
I know.
I have spells that can help.
Mm-hmm.
Like I still have my second level spells.
It is still technically day. And it's only six.
Right.
This might not be what was talked about in the journal.
Oh.
But it is getting later.
Yeah, okay.
But like this battle could be over minutes. I could go back to sleep. And then that's a big roll of the dice. I mean, either way, it's a roll of the dice. Like six is a lot.
Oh, well, I mean, here's the thing is that like we... we can go try to take care of these things, just try to, like, burn these things down.
And if things go south, you retreat back and wake me up. That's not a bad idea.
But if we don't, then the battle comes here, you get interrupted anyway.
That's true.
So either you get interrupted anyway, or we have to interrupt.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah. I found one. I meant to tell you in one of the houses that I wanted to tell you that you found something, but I forgot because I think you interrupted me. In one of the houses, you found a set-off crossbow trap with a functioning crossbow. So this place had arrows and bolts in it. So
that could be our alarm system that we were talking about that we wanted. Remember how we said that we wanted to hear something? We could set that up at one of the windows or whatever. So that way, when we hear a crossbow go ka-thunk, we know that they came through one of the other entrances. Okay,
you also can just shoot.
All right, anyway,
that too.
Yeah.
Well, it's the wizard staple.
You could rig up a crossbow trap, or you could shoot. They're both.
Yeah,
very,
I mean, I have a lot of cantrips, so I'm not worried about using crossbow. But, okay. I mean, so we all look at each other. Do we all agree we have to go out and take these things so that way Corbinian can sleep?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about what houses we've been through that we could Looney Tunes drag them through and then set the house on fire and then try to hold the door shut.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a good idea to lead them to a different place, but yeah, I've been hankering for that.
you could lead them to the pick and pine.
That's true. I only vaguely remember. Oh, so if we go there, we could lead them to the front door, and then they wouldn't be able to get out the back because it's mostly collapsed, right?
Well, we wouldn't be able to get out either because it was a small hole, if I remember correctly.
There was a back door. Either way, the pick and pine was not sound. Like, they can get in and out of that place. You would have to fortify it. Mm-hmm. You'd have to repair it to trap them. But you could lay them there.
I mean, yeah, and anything that would help one muffle noise if they're, you know, if they're also listening too, if there's like another patrol of these things, you know, out there. Whatever the closest one is.
The problem is close is the issue.
I think we need to get them in a choke. Choke point. And I'm thinking about that hallway in the pick and pine. Might be our best bet.
Yeah, there was a bar, the kitchen,
that
the
narrow
hallway. We could fight them in the bedroom.
If we can get them all on one side, we could just, me and Baron could stand in the gap. You can blast from behind us.
Yep.
And we can just try to take out as many as we can with fighting one on one instead of fighting two and three at a time.
Yeah. And if we're fast enough, that would be either a trap, but like taking some of the tar, like not all of it, but just a bit, just to throw on the ground, the light on fire, just to start something in that building.
We got alchemist fire, we could just use those.
Oh shit, I forgot about
Remember, they are also like rounds away, so you would have to like race them there, and they're going to basically get there at the same time.
Yeah,
that's the idea.
That's all I was saying.
Well, we could run up the street in the opposite direction too and take them to one of those houses too. There's plenty of houses we've been through. Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, some of the houses are a little bit closer to deal with. I mean, for this, I mean, we'll be marathoning over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're going to the pick and pie.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'm going to place you in here.
Each of us has to kill two.
And he's like, they're all sulfur zombies.
I quit.
I grab Corbinian under my arm and I leave.
Corbinian, can you
come on, buddy? Don't worry about it.
Click on one of their pawns revision, or do I need to put Corbinian in here?
No, I can see. Cool.
he's dreaming.
Just
want
to. Yeah,
I had a dream. You guys
fought zombies about
whatever
me.
Is going to happen.
I'm gonna.
So I am thinking, can we move around?
Yeah, go ahead and position yourself. Me here, and you guys in that basically make it here. You see the horde coming up, shambling up the road. They see you and they like start to pick up the pace as much as a bunch of shambling zombies look like. They do not look like sulfur
right.
zombies.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm thinking this hallway here, maybe, and have one of us in the hallway, one of us in one of the side rooms as a kind of a flank, and then maybe have Edmund back here in a secure spot there.
Yeah.
And leave the front door open so they can just come through.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was about to say, like, I would prefer to have them in a line because my one spell is a line spell.
You want to move over here? Yeah, I'll move them up in here, and then you can line and shoot.
Yeah, right. I can have my shield up, and then I can just use my impulses to cast line.
All right.
You guys are positioned in the hallway where you fought the...
Is there a question? Do I have time to throw something up against that window behind me? I'm hoping they'll just come in the front door because they saw us come in the front door and we left it open.
So you, like, see them pass by that window, but they saw you guys go in the front door.
Okay, so they're following.
Yeah, oh,
so
like,
I was like, dear God, if they
let's say you, like, ran in here and, like, saw them coming and you, like, just shut the blinds so they just can't see.
That's what, that's what I was thinking. I was getting ready to ask if I could do that.
Swink.
But by the time you get to the blinds there, like, you hear them, like, coming through the front. Like climbing over the debris at the front as these zombies come. Let's roll some
initiative. Yourselves!
Roll some initiative. I'm going to do. Have them be in here, and the initiative starts right when you see the first one come through that front door.
Oh my gosh! Shield raised before.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. It's combat. Alright, why don't you roll some initiatives?
Oh boy.
Oh god. Hey.
Hey.
I did okay.
Well, I'll do it. Good enough.
Alright, they got great initiatives.
Oh, that's not good.
No, they don't have great initiatives.
Oh, they don't. Okay.
Damn orc zombies, too.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they got the wicked underbite.
And then you're like, oh, wait, they have orc ferocity.
Oh, oh my gosh. Zombies with orc ferocity. Hell no.
Zombies out there.
I remember, like, one day I was just looking through all the different zombies. It's like the big unfortunate thing is, like, you're trying to summon them, they are automatically slowed.
Mm.
So, and if you summon one, you get two actions. So if they're slowed, you get one action. But they're cool.
Okay. Oh my, terrible rolls out on their initiative. Good lord. Wow, ooh. I rolled unbelievably bad for their initiatives. Look at those initiatives. 10, 8, 6, 5, 5, 2.
Yes.
All right. Half yarn. What's your dish?
19.
Good stuff. I'm sure you'll put that to good use while you wait for them to take their turns. Mm-hmm. Baron.
20.
18.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. That was a good number.
You guys are ready. That's something Edmund does. Shambling through a doorway. So this is appropriate. All right, it's Theron's turn.
Okay, he has Ray Shield one action. He can see the first one, and so he is just going to like lift his right hand. This ball of earth just is hovering there for a moment, and he just strikes right through it. And he's going to do an impulse attack. Let's see. Elemental Blast. Ooh, snazzy. 24 to hit.
That's a hit. That's a crit.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, man.
Okay,
yeah.
These guys are... Oh, it doesn't help when I roll a 4. So that's 8 points of damage.
This thing walks in, turns to look at you, just bludgeoned by a huge piece of rock.
Well, shit, he'll do it again. That was one action, so... Fucking do it again. that would be a 19 to hit.
Hit.
That was a 15. Right. Nice. So that's a d8. Oh! 7. 7 points of damage. And shield raised.
How much damage did you do in the second? Sorry.
7 points.
7.
Almost max.
Alright. Still coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
Alright. The half yarn.
Alright. Alright, so. First action, I will trace a rune on Theron's shield, and this is the rune that has been etched in my shield this entire adventure so far. Mm-hmm. I can etch 2 runes a day, which is just like they're just permanent, but everything else has to be traced, which disappears after one round. But so this is an etched, this is a traced rune on your shield. This is Holtrick's Rune of Dwarven Ramparts. So your shield now gets a +1 circumstance bonus for the round here. So
plus so 3 for your AC.
My AC's even higher.
Also. Whoa. Yeah. Okay, that's
wait, you have that, that's, do I've you have that on around, your, yeah. Do you have that on your shield at all times?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your shield is a
your that's, shield my edge, is, that's my edge rune.
Your shield's always a +3 while you have that rune up, which yours is all day.
Unless I invoke it, it just stays there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I've had that on my rune since we started, and then I've been tracing another rune on it, which is the
lightning.
The other defensive shield rune. Oh, yeah. Whenever I would take an action and use my shield and trace a rune, it was called Olenek's Rune of Coward's Bane, which gives me another +1 to AC against ranged attacks. So
that's sick.
It's a status bonus against ranged attacks, but ranged physical attacks, but nobody's thrown anything at me yet, so.
Not yet. So do you have any more actions?
That's just my first action to trace that on his shield. My second action will be to raise my shield and trace something on it.
Like, and as you do that, oh, thank you, brother.
And then I'm thinking about. Trace this one. I'm not sure I understand how this works. That's it. Yeah, I will take one more action to trace the Deatric Rune of Preservation on my Rune of Whetstones. Esvedir's Rune of Whetstones that is on my spear, so that if I decide to invoke it next round, I can just have it trace itself on there.
So cool beans. Edmund, you're up.
Cool.
Two okay. Beefy shield
Right. So I'm gonna do some battlefield manipulation here. So I am going to I take a little a tiny clump of like clay, like the kind of dirt that crumbles easily, and I throw it in the air over top of Theron's head. And what I'm casting is scatter screen. So as the rocks get thrown into the air, they go crumbling to the ground into a cascade. So it's a range of 30 feet and then a 10-foot line.
Huh.
So the square where the first zombie just walked in, and then the one closer to us. So there's two squares. I deal 2d4 bludgeoning damage on a basic reflex save.
Wait, which square?
I do that.
This one.
So that square, and then the one that is standing in right now.
Great.
Yep.
And does it all become difficult
terrain? Yes, and it all becomes difficult terrain.
That's huge.
Yes. I just need that one to make the reflex save for 2d4 bludgeoning damage.
Alright. Well, that's going to be a useful spell for you. That's what zombie shamblers are really good at.
Right?
Fucking reflex.
Well, then Kelly's going to be like 25.
No, 11.
Ooh.
Regular fail. So that is going to be... Oh, it's 3d4 because it is heightened to 9 bludgeoning damage against that guy.
So you rain down all this earth and scree, and it just pelts this thing. His holes just open up in his body, and his body crumbles to the ground.
Oh nice.
They're weaker. Whoa. Okay. And that's all I can do. That was 2 actions. I will just... ready for the next one. That difficult terrain stays there for a minute. Until I cast it again, and then it'll reset it, so.
Alright, that'll be super, super useful.
Yes.
Alright, so it now gets to the zombie horde's turn. So...
dead.
So one of the ones in the back comes barreling through. It just kind of like shoves that dying zombie out of the way, and it makes it right to the closest square to you on your difficult terrain, and that's one action, and then its next action, it comes in and it's going to attempt to punch a half yard.
Zombie punch.
Zombie punch.
That's another band.
Actually, it's going to run up and grab you.
No way.
Oh, no.
Natural one.
Yay!
So you get to grab it.
I get to grab it? Can I shove it?
You have a hand, if you have a hand.
I was going to say, I don't have a hand. I have a shield and a spear. So. Ah.
All right, so you just bat this thing away. It's like,
ew, gross.
All right, the next one.
Buy me dinner first.
Another one from the back barges in.
Hit that difficult.
And it is actually going to try to shove past the one in the hallway, and it's going to shove into the bedroom at the half yard.
Come at me, bro.
Come on. They had real bad rolls.
Ugh,
damn it. 14. I get your fortitude DC.
Finally! It's
my fortitude DC? Not even close.
Yeah.
Alright.
You've seen my character on it, right?
Yeah. He's all shield and muscle.
Trying to shove a bowling ball.
Okay. Another one walks in, but it is log jammed in here. And then the last one, they're all just clumped up in that hallway. I mean, what else are they going to do? They're zombies.
Get them, Theron.
It comes to Theron's turn.
Get them. Yeah.
Oh,
see, the aura is spinning around, and the boat of flame comes out and takes the shape of Torag's hammer, and he just throws it forward, and I need those three to do a reflex.
Yes! Let's go.
Yes.
Three in the line.
Alright.
Oh, that is a sweet, sweet line hit.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Juicy line of zombies are all constipated in that hallway.
Alright, I'm gonna put this dice away for a little
bit. And Mark's got the X-Lax.
First one is a 9.
That is a crit fail.
Okay. Oh yeah.
19's my thing.
So. Alright,
It's all coming again.
To my dice away with my fiery fist.
Oh, a classic.
All single digits tonight, just like every. I used everything on that sulfur zombie, which.
Kelly, that's okay.
I'd rather it all be on the sulfur zombie than these things. To be fair. Alright, so first one crit failed. Second one crit failed.
Yeah!
Natural 2. Alright, last one got a 13, which is probably my
fail. That's just a regular fail.
Oh,
so, middling roll, 7, so it'll be 14 points of damage to those that crit failed. And 7 damage to the one that failed.
Alright.
You just see this hammer just tunnel through him, just blow through about 30 feet and then just dissipate.
Yeah, those first two take heavy hit. Just blows through them, and the last one just kind of like fucking glances off the last one's head.
We are trying to push you to rest. Dead stays dead.
And,
do you got any more?
Last action, ratio.
Okay. Half yarn's turn.
You said the two in front are dead, you said, or just damaged? I'm sorry.
Heavily damaged.
Heavily damaged.
Heavily damaged. Cool.
All right, I will go ahead and strike out. Now, first thing I'm going to do is invoke the Rune of Whetstones on my spear, which will unleash a 2d6 slashing with a basic fortitude save. So I'm going to roll a fortitude save.
That is 17.
That matches it.
Okay.
That's going to be 10 points of damage cut down to 5.
Alright, you stab the spear, like, straight through this thing's head, and it, like, goes limp for a second on your spear, but then it gets back up.
Okay. Second action, he is going to, just for the flavor of it, is going to smash it with its shield, boss. Just for flavor. Awesome. It's going to be cool.
Bonk.
Yeah, he stabs it with the spear and then swings his shield around. That Bashes. Is going to be 16 to hit.
Hit. Swing, and it goes down.
All right.
One hit point.
Gotcha.
I knew it.
Yeah. So you stab this thing through the head, and then you just, like, ram your shield into it as it bounces off the back wall, slides off your spear, and crumbles to the ground.
Nice. And then with his final action, he will... thinking about this here. I will raise shield and trace it over my shield.
Alright. Edmund.
Okay. From here... there's still the two there. Oh my god, I could just do Scatter Scree again.
Yeah, is that a cantrip or is that a...
yeah, it's a cantrip, baby.
Oh,
do it.
Yeah. Alright, so I'll do Scatter Scree again. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put it a little bit forward. So just in the two squares in front of Half-Iron and Theron. Mm-hmm. So that way any of them that walk between those two squares has a little bit more movement, or a little bit less movement. So in which case, so unfortunately it'll only be the one taking the bludgeoning damage, that first one. But that'll be a good spot to put that difficult terrain though.
Oh yeah.
Alright. Reflex save.
Yep.
Ooh, 16.
16 is a fail. So it's going to be 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Rocks rain down on this thing and just shred it to pieces.
Beautiful. Oh, cool. Okay. And with Foundry, I can actually put a line template on the ground, which is neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
These corpses are just piling.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the zombie's turn. It's good. This one comes in to grab Theron.
I'm do not have your plus one this round, just so you're aware.
Fuck me!
I had to smash his brain!
I'm gonna die!
Okay.
Alright, against your Fortitude DC, this will be a 26.
Oh, yeah. That...
oh! Is it a crit?
Not a crit, just a regular.
Alright.
My fortitude is plus 11. So.
Okay. So you're grabbed. And that was its turn. It's the next one's turn. It's going to shamble up and it is going to try to shove into the room with the half yard.
Ooh.
There we go.
This is how
24.
Against fortitude or AC?
42 DC.
42 DC, that is a success. Success.
Alright, it shoves you back into the room, and it follows you into the room.
Okay. Oh, God.
Well,
and that's where it stays, and it is the last one's turn. And it cannot get to Theron, so it will move into the room with the half yarn.
Let's go.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, crap.
And we'll take a grab.
No!
right, this will be close. 20. Fortitude DC.
That will succeed.
Oh, oh man.
So you are grabbed now.
Uh-oh. Oh, I think I have eyes calm, so.
Yeah. Yep.
And we will see what Theron does on next episode.
Oh, oh no!
Theron, you can do it!
He's dead.
The two frontliners are grabbed. They're pinned.
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here to bring you some more news about Misty Mountain Gaming. They just released the biome collections of their dice. And here's the thing. It's not just dice, okay? With each biome, there is a bag, some pins, stickers, and of course, the dice to go along with it. Go check them out. There's an Arctic biome, rainforest biome, desert and ocean biome collection, and they all look incredible. Make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for an extra 10% off, and I will see you in the next episode.